You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Oh, hold on. That's the wrong music for today. That's right. In a little less than an hour. In fact, at 56 minutes, Yankees-Red Sox spring training game on ESPN. That's right, boys. It's on. Joining me.
Spring training.
Does it matter? All of a sudden, that matters? It doesn't matter,
it's
Mike.
It's practice.
No, it's not practice. It's Yankees-Red Sox. That means it means something.
All right, whatever.
Oh, that's right. You know, you're not in until September. And then you'll say it's over already, so who cares? So how can we have any fun with you? Mr. No Fun. Okay, first of all, give us a report on the patty melt.
It was okay. I mean, it wasn't, like you said, nothing to write home about. It was just good.
Just good.
Yeah.
That doesn't, how do you screw up a patty melt?
Well, they didn't put yellow mustard on it. They used rye bread.
Okay, rye bread's key. You got to do that.
Yellow mustard.
Nobody puts yellow mustard on a patty melt. It just comes with onions, cheese on the inside of both sides of the bread, and then the burger itself. I don't know. I've yet to see a patty melt with mustard on it.
Yeah, it's supposed to have mustard.
No, it's not. Okay, let me look it up. Just to be fair. I could be wrong, but I'm the patty melt, you and I have something in common. The patty melt is one of my go-tos.
Yeah.
Patty melt ingredients. One stick of butter, one whole large onion, ground beef, salt and pepper to taste, Worcestershire sauce, 8 slices of Swiss cheese.
Not traditional.
8 slices of rye bread. That's from the Pioneer Woman. This is from the Food Network.
Oh.
This is from the Food Network.
No.
The Food Network. Oh, man, the picture looks awesome. One stick of butter, one onion, ground beef, Worcestershire sauce, ground pepper, 8 slices of rye bread, and Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese?
Yeah, I'm
an American cheese guy. Yeah, I'm an American cheese guy. How about Bon Appetit? I'll give you, you can pick Food Republic, New York Times Cooking, or Bon Appetit.
Try Bon Appetit.
All right. Bon Appetit. Oh, man. Look at that. That's caramelized onions. All right. So that's onion, ground beef, ketchup, garlic powder, kosher salt, black pepper, a little vegetable oil, rye bread, sharp cheddar cheese. And Swiss cheese, they have it there too.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, they have both. I think what you'll find if you go into Cracker Barrel today is you'll find American cheese on that thing, won't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's how mine rolls. So how do you screw that up? Did you hear mustard anywhere in there? No.
No.
That's a condiment, man.
I don't know.
Okay, so you're not happy because it didn't have mustard. So I'm not sure you're a patty.
And it had Swiss cheese.
And it had Swiss cheese. Well, that's the recipe. You'd have to specify now that I know.
Now that I know.
But the picture is awesome. It is. It is awesome. There's the onion. It looks like a little tomato in there, too. So, anyway. So, yeah, normally it's hard to screw up a patty melt, honestly. The All right. Let me ask you a sports question. What do you think of Aaron Judge hitting leadoff? Right? Because the Yankees want Judge and Stanton to hit in the first inning, because that's evidently statistically when most pitchers, starting pitchers, good pitchers struggle the most in the first inning. They want both those guys to hit. Judge has an on-base percentage of .422, second in the American League. Do you think that's a good move or a bad move? Or do you not care?
Well, because Judge is a Yankee.
Yes, so you don't care?
I don't give a crap, yeah.
Really? Just like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Next sports story that I'll ask you about. Eric Reed, former strong safety, San Francisco 49ers, who's a free agent, who's yet to have one serious conversation about a contract for next year because of his national anthem protest, has said that in the future he doesn't intend to kneel down during the national anthem. Good move or bad move?
Well, first of all, he's a 49er, and there's only one of our friends who's a 49er fan.
Me? I'm a 49er fan.
Oh, Christ.
What do you mean? I can't switch. I was born a 49er fan.
Oh, man, please.
Oh, I forgot.
You told me to be happy today. You're not giving anything to be happy about.
I'll give you some stuff to be happy with, but do you think that's a good move on his part? Or, so you, I want you to be the owner of a football team that needs a free agent. Hey, I'm the general manager. Hey, let me just go over a list of free agents we're looking at. Do you have anybody who you don't want here? Eric Reed knelt down, protested with Colin Kaepernick. Any thoughts on us hiring him to play free safety? Because we need one. He's a good one.
Yeah, I don't want him.
Right. Why?
So if you... Because he comes with baggage, but he'll sacrifice his beliefs and everything else because of the money.
Right.
Yeah, he's a real stand-up guy.
So to me, if you're an owner, what are you doing at this part of the year? You're selling season tickets, right? You're going to have the draft.
Right.
You're going to bring all those guys. You're going to whoop up the enthusiasm. You're going to roll out your season ticket package, and you're going to put Eric Reed in there. And what's going to happen? You're going to have the VFW make statements, American Legion, the veterans. You know, I mean, it's going to be a shit show. Sorry, it's bad business, okay? I don't need that guy. Who's the guy behind, lower than him, and how much worse is he? Yeah, let's hire that guy instead. So to me, you know, it's a business thing. And so okay. All right, from there. Next thing I talked about today. I got an email. Mac, has your life changed much since you switched to Google TV a month ago? Not a bit. I still watch all the sports I watch, and I pay $35 a month. So, when everybody gets excited about, you know, that some prices might go up because of our little trade event with China, I would tell you, you could cut about $150 off your cable bill and offset it. Plus, it ain't going to cost you $1,800 a month, $1,800 a year, whatever the United States does with China. So shut up and color. Any thoughts on that, Mike?
No, you know, I still pay the, because we don't get Google TV on here, so.
You don't, it's YouTube TV, and it comes, is your internet, do you have good internet out there? That's all you need is internet.
Yeah, it's okay.
Right. I'm telling you. Something you might want to look at. You're on a fixed income, right? You're on your retirement. You're a retiree. Do you think you'll ever work again?
I don't know why.
I just wondered. You seem to be very content not working. Do you think you'll ever like get a job or you think maybe it would be something like consulting on a part-time basis? You think you'd ever go to work full time? Because you seem to be pretty happy hanging out with the boys, having a patty melt, going
having my own schedule.
Yeah, you seem to be pretty happy.
I think you can answer that question.
I don't think I'll ever work again. email. Mac, did the Gunner PT yesterday? You caught him in a lie. Yeah, I did catch him in a lie. Did you PT yesterday? Tell the truth.
No.
No. He told me he was, too, just to get him off his ass. Okay. Alan Dershowitz says that there was no case to make to impanel a special prosecutor. Did you see that audio clip? And if so, what did you think about it? Because Dershowitz is a liberal. He's a constitutional scholar and lawyer. And so I always find it interesting when, like, somebody who's liberal takes a contrary position, right? You know?
Right.
It would be like a Republican saying that, you know what, Bill Clinton, you do have to tip your hat to him. He is a good politician. Or another Republican saying, yeah, George Bush is a moron. Okay? Those are all people speaking the truth.
Right.
So it always gets my attention when they do that. Did you see that clip? And if so, what'd you think?
I saw the clip, but it was on mute. So, no, I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. Now, it's interesting. He said that there should have been some kind of bipartisan panel formed to look at the allegations to find if anything rose to appointing a special prosecutor. And the special prosecutor should have been a secondary step. Had they done that, there would have never been a special prosecutor because nothing is broken squelch relative to collusion. And he said,
right.
I think you can see that. But now what we have is now the special prosecutor takes on a life of its own, which is the danger of impaneling one. And he said, and I think that's what you're living with now. So anyway, so I think it's just,
yeah, and that special prosecutor is going to pull, just like they did with Bill Clinton, you know, the star thing.
Right.
Everything's fair game.
Right. Right. All right, let's talk about the Army pistol buy. You're unhappy about that.
Well, you know, after talking to you yesterday, I was looking into it more and more, and it's just ridiculous to me. And you know, so we did the numbers wrong because it's only, I think, 180,000 copies, not 200,000. So that changes the price.
Well, hold on. Is this the Army's buy, and is our buy folded into that? Is the Air Force buy folded into that?
No, they're separate buys.
They're all separate buys. Okay.
Yeah. But it's, you know, again, the $580 million for the weapon system, and the money's being made on the maintenance tail that goes with it. You know, and I go, you know, looking at that price, you could buy a new gun every year and still save money.
And just throw them away?
Yeah. And you're saving money.
So where does the $580 million come from?
Well, what does it go to? That's all the incidental shit. So.
What does that mean? What does incidental shit mean?
You know, like, holsters. I don't know, you know, the holster's gotta be wrapped up in this buy. I don't know why, but, cause I don't think SIG's going to supply the holsters because they look like Safari Land holsters, but you know, it just reeks of bad business practice.
Which you've been relatively critical on this program before.
Well, I've been critical of the, like you said, the procurement process that we're hostage of this old, outdated, antiquated system, and no one's doing anything about it. You know why? Because people are making money off of it.
So I'm still confused over where the $580 million goes when you're telling me that for what we're paying for the pistol, we could buy 200,000 a year and throw them away and be better off.
Yeah, $180 a copy, you know, it came out to like $272 a year. That's basically put aside for maintenance of this thing.
Email.
So.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
No, it's just, you know, to the taxpayer, it's just not doing business well and not being frugal with the money and, you know, getting the right product. And then, you know, the other thing that kind of was kind of surprising was, and I was when we talk about mean rounds between failures.
What does that mean?
It's so how many rounds on the average can you fire without a failure happening? To give you an example, when they tested the Beretta M9, the Beretta M9 had something like 35,000 rounds were fired before it suffered a malfunction. And I'm not saying that the Beretta was, I didn't like the Beretta based on the fact that of a reliability issue. It was a reliable pistol. I didn't like it because of all of the, you know, the decocking lever and safety,
right.
You know, a single double action pistol. I didn't like it because of that. I didn't like it because it wasn't, it's really not a really good combat pistol. It doesn't have the endurance. You know, so 35,000 rounds between failures. And then the Army standard is only 495 rounds they put out, that the pistol had to fire 495 rounds before it suffered a failure. And it didn't, and in that contract, it basically said that this was, you know, unexcusable and it was an automatic disqualifier. Well, the SIG failed and it still won the contract. And then when it got fielded, it was having the drop test issue. And you know, they came back and said, well, you're dropping it at a different angle. No one gets to decide on that. That's gravity's fault. You can only drop it at this angle.
So
what?
Sorry, my bad.
You know, that's the stuff that was kind of, you know, again, you're like, oh, somewhere down the line, someone's making some money off of this.
I hate to be that cynical, right?
But that's the way it always is, Mac.
No, but when you look at the kind of numbers and you say, and Mike starts pulling it apart and say, okay, do the math on this. How does this make sense? At $180 a copy, we could buy 200,000 and we could do that multiple times throughout the course of this 10-year agreement. What do we need the maintenance for? Just throw the son of a bitch away. Just give him a new one. Oh, it's not working right? Here you go. And then use that big pile for spare parts. What do you need maintenance for?
Well, and then it goes back to the whole, what is the requirement? Why is there a need for a handgun in the military? A lot of people, when you say that to that aren't in the military, even military guys, they're like, they look at it like, well, that makes no sense. Of course you got to have a handgun. Why? Well, it's a backup weapon. Oh, okay. If it's a backup weapon, then everybody gets one. You know, the Marine Corps is going to buy 35,000. There's more than 35,000 Marines. You know, if you look back at why we gave pistols, pistols replaced swords for officers and staff and COs. At some point in combat, it seemed ridiculous to charge in a battle against guns when you had a sword. So we gave officers pistols. Why didn't we give them rifles? Because we didn't want them to be caught up in the fight. You know, we wanted them for defensive purposes. So you see these old World War I movies going over the top. The guy's got a Webley revolver, and he's doing the follow me.
Yeah, that looks awesome. Okay, truth is, if you roll around without, the only reason to roll with a pistol is because you're supposed to have a weapon on you, and you don't want to carry your rifle.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Or we gave them to guys that carried heavy weapon systems, crew serve weapon systems, because we didn't want to overburden them and give them a rifle and this heavy crew serve weapon.
Yeah, but you and I both know, if you have to bet your life on your pistol, sorry.
And then it goes back to my whole argument of, then, you know, where do you see pistols more often than not in the military? Well, you see them as post-standers, duty guys that are standing post. Why? Because it's a defensive weapon system. Again, we don't train you well enough to do something with it. You know, it goes down to pistol training is shorter than rifle training. And rifle training is about 5 hours a year. What do you think that you're good at you practice 5 hours a year at?
Okay, hold on. Let me think about that. what do I think I'm good at that I practice 5 hours a year? I don't know anything that I practice 5 hours a year on, that small amount. Yeah, maybe cooking some type of dish that I burn all the time.
You cook more than 5 hours a year.
No, but maybe a specific dish that I wouldn't cook, you know.
Oh, beef Wellington?
Turkey. Turkey.
Maybe once a year, turkey.
Turkey.
Once a year.
But
it's
I'll tell you what.
5 hours. So you're the same.
Yeah, turkey, if I make it once a year. Yeah. Trust me, it's rolling the dice on that deal. So I'm going to play You Bet Your Life on something I do 5 hours a year. It's pretty discouraging when you hear you talk about the procurement system. And I've got an email about it. Mac, I've heard the Gunner say when you ask him why something wasn't done, that nobody's written a requirement for it. Who writes requirements? Oh, that's a good email.
Okay.
Who?
Here's how the requirement.
What were we talking about that I asked you about the requirement? I asked you, it was fairly recently.
I don't remember. We weren't talking about destroyers or anything. So let's take requirement. Okay, let's talk about requirement.
Okay.
Let's say as the requirement, and the requirements are generated from the operational side of the house. So operational units drive requirements because they have a lack of, they can't do a certain task that they've been tasked to do. So then it generates a requirement because something falls short or they just don't, they lack that capability. So
Hold on. So the process is a unit can write a requirement? Can anybody write a requirement?
Well, and that's the way it's supposed to, so that you're supposed to do that. Yeah, a unit requires a requirement. I have this requirement.
Okay.
Or I cannot do what you're tasking me to do because I lack this resource.
Okay, so give me the path. So I'm the battalion commander of 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. It goes from me to the regiment.
To the regimental commander.
To the division, to the MEF.
And then it's racked and stacked in priorities.
Okay. Oh.
And then it's separated by op field. So, occupational field guy. So it's his requirement. So if it's a communication thing, it goes to the comm side. So let's take communications because that's a great one. So I have a requirement. I want all my squad leaders to have inner voice communications. I want all of them to talk. So they're not screaming on the battlefield. Why is that important? Well, because it gives me more command and control. It makes me more, you know, maneuverable. It makes me more survivable. It gives me more lethality on the battlefield. It can kill things better. Right?
Right.
So then the battalion commander says, I need this system. I don't know what it is, but here's my requirement. I want it to cover this range. I want it to be within a mile. The squad's not going to be more than a mile separated.
I
want it to cover... Help not. I want it to require, you know, this capability. I want it to cover a mile. I want it to be waterproof. I want it to be weatherproof. I want it to last, you know, 12 hours on a charge. You don't specify batteries or rechargeable. That falls out later on. But you say these specifications. You're not trying to, you don't say, I need a walkie talkie or I need a Motorola or this radio. No, because you're pigeonholing yourself. And it may not, and if you do that, and it doesn't meet the requirement, well, then you don't get anything. So you ask for this very kind of mushy, non-existent thing, and then you give it to somebody, and then it goes up to the division, and the division says, okay, this is a communication asset. I'm going to give it to my comm guys. Okay, so the communication outfield sponsor gets it. And it's one of hundreds, if not thousands, of requirements that are coming across his desk. And then he's got to rack and stack it. Well, is it a priority? For the battalion commander, for the occupational field, it's a huge priority. But for the communication field, it's not so much a priority. Why? Because it's competing against things that, in the communication field, are necessary, like data cables and bigger bandwidth and bigger radar or satellite dishes and trucks to actually move these things and bigger battery systems for these things to work or generators. So he racks and stacks it, and it falls, let's say, out of his top 10. Well, then it's a money issue. It doesn't have enough money to gain any legs. And then it falls short. It doesn't get fielded. It doesn't get anything towards it. You know, only those things that are, you know, like we always say, the top, make the top 10 list. And really, it's not even the top 10. It's like the top 3. If it doesn't make the top 3, it doesn't get any scrutiny whatsoever. It doesn't get any money, and it goes on the wayside. How you beat that is you get all the division commanders that go, hey, this is my number one priority out of the division. I want squad communication. And then it goes up in front of the division commanders. Well, then it does have some importance. It's hard for that communication guy to put it, you know, a tenth on the list. Because then someone's going to pull him out and say, wait a second, you think that you're smarter than 3 division commanders. So that's how, and then it, when it finally gets that, then it goes to a place called McCidic, Marine Corps Combat Development Command. And what those guys do, they sit in a building, it's a big think tank of civilians and military guys, and the military guys, it's not their choice duty. No one ever wants to go to McCidic. You know, oh please, I want to go to McCidic and write requirements. You know, as a major. Oh, man, there's a lot more, you know, appealing jobs than writing requirements. So the guys that get signed there don't really want to be there. They're there for a short time. And so when they get the stuff across their desk, and now they got to actually do the legwork, the engineer work, and decide what this thing looks like. And then they write the requirement. And then that requirement goes across the street to a place called Marine Corps or Warfighting Command. Or not Warfighting. It's basically, I forget the name of it. Those guys, a bunch of engineers, they take your requirement and they go out into the defense world and they see if it exists. And if not, then they give an opportunity. They put it up, they post this thing and say, okay, you got a year and to submit this thing that fits within this requirement. So then a year goes by. Everybody submits their thing, and then they got about a, then they take about a year to test these 10 widgets that have been submitted, and then they go through this down select thing that takes another year. So you're 3 years into it. And then by the time, it, and if it does become something, then they buy this thing. Well, then the battlefield's changed. Now I need it 2 miles. Well, this thing gets got fielded, it doesn't meet that requirement because now we're doing this big spaced out, you know, where we got squads that are not actually miles apart. You know, and we saw this with, hell, lieutenants at the platoon commander level had more gear, more gadgets assigned to them. They had staffs in the platoons that were working behind computers and thermal imaging things and, you know, collection things, and so the battlefield changed, and none of this stuff fits. So now we got to, you know, it's ad hoc, and we're really not giving them the full requirements. So it's a broken system. And again, everything's fitting has to fit within this requirement. So when you look at, like, let's say the Osprey, you know, we want when the Marine Corps said we want vertical capability, and then we want it to transition to, you know, horizontal flight. Well, that rules out everything else because we could have just went and bought the Blackhawk.
Right.
Saved a ton of money. The schools are already there. We don't have to build new schools to teach people the new avionics packages. You know, the parts already exist. We don't have to create a whole new infrastructure for parts because that's where the real money is. Sustainment. You know, and it's just, it's absolutely absurd.
So that's,
I mean, the classic example is the EFV, you know, Expeditionary Firing Vehicle.
That has gone nowhere forever.
It's dead. It's now sitting outside, the shells of these things are sitting outside some office building as trophy.
Yeah, at Del Mar.
$350 million vehicle that's now a trophy outside.
Yeah.
You know, and as I say it, I used to call them, they're statues of our failures. They're trophies of failures. Of what not to do. Look at this, boys. Ooh, that's pretty cool. No, no, you're looking at it wrong. This is a monument to our failure of not doing the system right.
So that's how we get to $580 million for the pistol.
It was a 10-year process, Mac. 10 years.
Boy.
To get a pistol. Are you kidding me?
But contrast it with this, Mike. The Marine Corps went out, you know, and wants to purchase the M27, right? From H&K, and it's getting blowback from Congress about, you know, you're doing this on the cheap, you're doing it faster, but no American company can produce it. And that's the other side of it?
Yeah. That's the other fight.
Wow.
Drives me absolutely wild because people are complaining about this, but they're okay with our ships are being built with Chinese steel.
Not for long, man. Not for long.
But they are.
No, you're right. You're right. No, and I said, look, hey, the United States needs to have a confrontation with China. Okay? And we all need to be okay with it. Because, you know, the Chinese, this was George Herbert Walker Bush, the elder Bush, brought the Chinese into the WTO on the premise that, look, as they get ingrained with everybody else economically, right, this whole communist thing will go away, right, and they'll become a part of the world of nations. Well, guess what they did? They sucked everybody into the demand for to be in the Chinese market, right? Now you're selling into the market. If the Chinese say, sorry, you're done, what does that do to you? What does that do to you politically at home? What does that do to you politically at home? You jack your ass up, right? So when the Chinese say, okay, so these are the conditions. You're going to build a second factory in China, and we want you to develop that technology in China. What do you say? No? No. You say yes. So at some point, you have to tell Mike, listen to this. This is big news in the world of the Department of Defense today. Okay? A United States Navy destroyer had the unmitigated gall to sail within 12 nautical miles of a reef that China has fortified off the coast of the Philippines. China is upset with the United States. And that's how you get to that point. Are you shitting me? China decided, like, what's next? They're gonna create a barrier off Honolulu and tell us we can't go to Hawaii? Maybe. At some point, you have to kick them straight in the balls and say, go to hell. You and your bullshit. And so, if we have to pay more, then guess what? You have to pay more. But you can't just keep dancing with dictatorships and saying, oh, look, instead of buying your soccer ball for $4, you get to buy it for $2. Isn't that awesome? Well, no, because it sends factories outside the United States for $2. I don't give a shit. Honestly, I don't give a shit. Mac, really? Yeah, really.
Right.
Email. I thought you were going to have fun with the gunner today, and now, after listening to his little dissertation about procurement, this is the way we do stuff. No wonder we're so screwed up. What does it look like for large ticket items like Navy ships, like big bombers and complex fighters? I can't even imagine, and it's no wonder I hear you guys ridiculing the Zumwalt class destroyer that was supposed to be a buy of 16 to 18, and I think they're going to get 6 out of the whole buy now because of the blow-up of cost. God help us. Yeah, you're right. He better help us. He better help us, because this is like six destroyers. Really? We need 18 to 24. So dumb the price down, dumb the product down, and get it out there. We need ships. We got to have them. But.
Well, the whole thing of stealth destroyers, how can you be stealthy in the Pacific Ocean?
You go underneath the water. And even that's problematic, too, by the way. With now all the drones that, you know, all the smart drones and the technology that goes under the water, the days of you being invisible underwater are pretty much done.
All you have to do is put a thermal camera on a pole that you bought at U.S. Optics for $500, put it on a flagpole, point it out to sea, and you can see a ship, even if it's stealthy or not, because you know why? It's going to be warmer than the water.
No matter what they do.
$1,000 investment just defeated a $9 billion stealth ship.
Damn
it.
That's
absurd.
Damn it. I hate when that happens. I hate when that happens.
It goes back to the, I keep reading, I have the story written down of, you know, NASA spent millions of dollars trying to invent a pen that writes in outer space in the vacuum of space.
You love this story.
Because of the ink cartridge, right?
Yeah.
Millions of dollars. And they did it. They finally did it. The Russians turn around and just send a goddamn pencil in space. What are we doing?
We can't have a pencil. We cannot.
Yeah, it's
we
cannot be in black ink, boys. We can't accept any kind of documents from space unless they're in black ink.
Exactly. Who wrote? Write that down, somebody. This pencil stuff. Like, well, we could have brought it back and then photocopied the originals and then somebody transcribed it. What?
Yeah.
How much did they spend?
NASA?
Yeah.
Oh, look it up. NASA, I think it's, I want to say $10 million.
NASA. Pen that writes.
That writes in outer space.
In space. Do I need outer space?
No.
Okay, oh, this gets us back to the Snopes thing. Fact or fiction? NASA spent millions to develop a pen that would write in outer space, whereas the Soviet cosmonauts used a pencil. Uh-oh, Mike. During the height of the space race in the 60s, legend has it, NASA scientists realized that pens couldn't function in space. They needed to figure out another way for astronauts to write things down, so they spent years and millions of taxpayer dollars to develop a pen that could put out ink to paper without gravity. But their crafty Soviet counterparts, so the story goes, simply handed the cosmonauts a pencil. The tale with its message of simplicity and thrift, not to mention failure of common sense and bureaucracy, floats around the internet, hopping from inbox to inbox, and even surfaced during the 2012 episode of West Wing. But it's a myth. Mike!
No, it's not.
It's
reading
a
right
myth.
From Fisher.
Originally,
I don't
NASA,
believe Snopes.
This is called Scientific American. Originally, NASA astronauts, like the cosmonauts, used pencils, according to NASA historians. In fact, NASA ordered 34 mechanical pencils from Houston's Tycam Engineering Manufacturing in 1965. They paid $4,382.50, or $128.89 per pencil. When these prices became public, there was an outcry, and NASA scrambled to find something cheaper for the astronauts to use. Pencil may not have been the best choice anyway. The tips flaked and broke off during its microactivity, drifting into microgravity, where they could potentially harm an astronaut or equipment. And pencils were flammable, a quality NASA wanted to avoid, onboard objects after the Apollo 1 fire. Fisher Pen Company reportedly invested $1 million to create what is now commonly known as the Space Pen. None of this investment money came from NASA, Okay, so do you want to apologize to procurement professionals everywhere?
No, that's the same thing.
Because this is where
they're talking
them.
About lead, and then they used graphite. There's more to the story. They started using graphite.
This is the third. This is the third.
Why spend $1 million to create the AG7?
Because you just heard it. After the fire on Apollo 1, right, they said that it was not something that they wanted to replicate, and they needed a pen so that they didn't have to deal with the microcarbon. Is that what the tip of a pencil is? The microcarbon that was floating around that could have been either unhealthy or flammable.
Bullshit. I say bullshit to that.
You say bullshit?
Yeah.
Wow. Damn it. You can't say bullshit. Okay, let me see if Snopes has anything. Oh, Snopes. Fact check by Snopes.com. False.
Bullshit.
You sound as bitter as my sister did yesterday when she found out that Captain Kangaroo wasn't leading men off the beaches of Iwo Jima, and that Mr. Rogers wasn't a real SEAL badass that killed 22 guys in Vietnam. Mr. Rogers.
Well, no, what they're saying is, if you read that story, why Snopes is saying, they said that NASA spent $12 billion. They didn't spend $12 billion. They spent $1 million.
$12 billion developing. Russians used a pencil.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Bullshit.
Moscow time.
But the whole, what they're saying again is, because of the Apollo 1, which the astronauts required a readiness to not burn in 100% oxygen atmosphere, in a vacuum with no gravity, in a hot temperatures, NASA tested pressurized space pens at negative 50 degrees Celsius.
So the bottom line is, they spent $1 million to develop a pen, and your point is, that's stupid.
A graphite mechanical pencil does not burn in microspace. Lead, I can say. Yeah, you know what? The old lead pencils, probably.
So
they don't do a lot of writing.
Your point is just
give them a goddamn computer.
We didn't have them then. So your point is, even $1 million, it doesn't matter if it's 12 billion or $1 million, it's still an example of how we waste money.
Of stupidity. Yeah.
In procurement. All right. I can live with that. All right. Do you have any big plans for the weekend? And so you're not going to watch the Yankees Red Sox? So it's like, come on, man. What's wrong with you?
No, not yet.
It's going to be a good game because I don't know.
Red Sox are leading the Yankees, I think, by 2 games right now, right?
I don't know. Are they? Why do you have to go there? I thought you were hardly paying attention. Now all of a sudden we're going to play that card? Unbelievable. Are they? It doesn't matter to me. I just want, because see, towards the end of spring training, you're going to see probably the starters play most of the game. But that's all contingent on one thing, and that is how long the bus ride is from where Boston plays to where the Yankees play. And if it's a long bus ride, that means the big players don't make the trip, except it's late in spring training, so most of the younger players have been sent to other camps. So that means it's a 50-50 shot that you'll see most of the starters play most of the game, which would make it, for a spring training game, an interesting game. Let me read you one more story, and I want to get your reaction to this. The wife of a retired Navy chief, all right, he was a corpsman, has filed a claim against the government alleging her severe constant pain is caused by a needle that has been lodged in her spine since it broke off during anesthesia at Naval Hospital Jacksonville, Florida, 14 years ago when she gave birth to her son. After 14 years of misdiagnoses for her pain, Amy Bright found out in November 2017 as a result of a CT scan at Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio that she has a 3-centimeter needle sticking out of her spine, 3/4 of the way through a bone, and causing permanent nerve damage. She has had chronic left side sciatica, hip and lower back pain for nearly a decade and a half. And because the needle's been there for so long, doctors have told her it's too risky to remove it.
Ugh.
Do you believe that, or should we go to Snopes?
Oh, God,
Snopes. The spinal anesthesia was administered to Bright before a planned cesarean section when her youngest son, Jacob, was born at the Navy Hospital on September 5th, 2003. By the time of the alleged incident, Bright was 27. Her husband, Charles, was stationed at Naval Air Station Jacksonville. Bright's claim accuses the hospital staff of failing to provide proper anesthesia care and treatment and failing to properly insert a spinal anesthesia needle, resulting in breaking off the needle in her spine, failing to inform Bright what had happened, and failing to remove the needle. Okay, so I don't think we're going to Snopes on this shit. But let me just say this. If you're a piece of shit doctor or nurse and you bust a needle off in somebody's spine and you turn around and say, hey, big sky, little bullet, fuck it, and walk away, in my opinion, you should go to jail. That is assault, for God's sakes. So, true or false, Mike, do you believe that?
The story?
Yes.
I don't know. I would probably say it's false.
Yeah, it's false. Just like your misdiagnosed gallbladder. What a shit show. Right?
My gallbladder came out.
I know, but how many years did they tell you it was something else?
Oh, yeah.
How long, Mike?
Over 10 years. Yeah, over 10 years.
Over 10 years. What were some of the different things that you got told were wrong with you?
Oh, I got told that reflux, you don't eat spicy food. I mean, everything under the book, man. Sinuses, allergies, you name it, man. Everything different. Bronchitis.
That
is a long thing. And if you're, oh, it's complicated. You're not a doctor. You wouldn't understand.
Monkeys. They're monkeys. Military doctors. Monkeys. Yeah. So some advice.
Yeah, it's where they go to practice.
Yeah. It's where they go to learn. They're young docs. They're paying off loans. They're doing it in the military. And they're getting experience so they can go out in the civilian world and make some money. And you're the guinea pig. So, there you have. And it's, let me tell you, it's okay because we're in the military, but for your dependents, my advice would be to have some kind of small medical insurance policy where you can go double check shit when it goes sideways. Like when your wife comes home from giving birth and she has pain shooting down her leg, right? And the monkeys say, we don't know what's wrong with you after you've given birth. Yeah. Take it to a regular doctor, use your little insurance policy, pay the, whatever deductible you have to pay so that they can get an x-ray and say, oh, it's pretty easy. See this needle that's in your wife's spine? That's what's causing the pain. How bullshit is that? Yeah, it's amazing. So, again, little word to the wife. Okay, what are we doing this weekend? We doing any shooting? And what's the weather like in Texas?
The weather's perfect. I like it like this.
Yeah, it was pretty like it was 47 or something like that at about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was in the mid-70s yesterday. It was really nice. It's going to get a little warm. I mean, right now it's 70. It's supposed to get up in the 80s. But it was cloudy this morning. I thought we were going to get some rain.
Uh-oh.
But we're not going to get rain until next week.
No rain till next week?
Right.
Is rain in Texas, is it kind of like rain in North Dakota or Minnesota that it comes and goes? It's not a big deal?
There are times when it just goes through. There are times when it stays for like 5-6 days straight.
Ooh, that's not good.
No, it's good. That's good.
That is good?
Yeah, rain is good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so rain forecast, we got partly cloudy all the way until Monday, then thunderstorms Tuesday, Wednesday, back to partly cloudy, sunny, and then thunderstorms again the following Tuesday all the way to Friday.
And what's the what's the average temp?
The average temp is going to be this week it's going to be warm. The average temp here is, shows 81, 87, 86, 84. And then Monday, Tuesday, it drops down to 78, 67, 67.
That's what we'd like, right? You'd like it between what?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need
65 and 75.
When was it? I'm more of like, I'm very discriminate. 70 and about 76 is what I like. And we've been in the 60s, which out here is like it's not pleasant. You know? So.
Anyway.
And then
it's going to, once May, the end of May shows up, May will be, you know, in your average 80s. And then June, July, August, you're back in the top 90s.
Yeah.
Right. And then no relief until October.
Okay. What do you got planned for PT today?
Today?
Yeah. Got to make up for yesterday, too,
up.
So... What'd you say? You're cleaning out a closet? That's going to be...
Garage. That's tough work, man.
Okay, stop it, all right? Just stop it. We have if you watch Major League Baseball on the At-Bat application, okay, all you see in every commercial is Marine Corps. The Marine Corps is...
Really?
Yeah, all about online marketing. They don't do the more expensive, big network stuff over the air. But if you watch online, between every inning, you see the few, the proud, the Marine. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It is. It's motivating. I sent General Kennedy an email yesterday. I said, I'm motivated, man. Just keep seeing these commercials popping up. Got me fired up. All that space age.
Oh, is he a Mikrit?
Yeah. Yeah, he's retiring in July 1, I think. He's done.
Really?
Yeah. Right. And our change of command got moved back to August, I think.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
So,
August?
Yeah. Email. Mac, would you or Gunner ever bungee jump? I wouldn't.
I already have.
You did? Where?
Down in San Diego at the Indian Reservation.
Oh, really? You bungee jumped? I thought you didn't do optional flights like that.
No, I don't. I don't like to fly.
But bungee jumping, you make an exception for that. Because
if it
breaks, you go like face first into the rocks, man. That's not smart.
It was a net or something.
That'll stop you when you're going 200 miles an hour. Hey, why is there a hole?
120, I think.
Why is there a hole in that net? Oh, yeah, some dude last week.
That's from the guy from before.
Well, didn't the net stop him? Slowed him down a little bit. What happened to him? Oh, he did. He did. Oh, that's what that stain is underneath the hole in the net? Yeah.
Now, would I do it off a bridge? No, I wouldn't do it off a bridge or anything like that.
What's the difference?
A hokey place. It was really secure the way they
harness
you in.
Did you inspect it?
No.
You
I
did?
I was looking at it as they were doing it.
Oh, you just jumped? So did you go, was it attached to your feet or, did you jump?
Yes, and your body, in a body harness.
So did you jump face first?
Yeah, you just head first.
Oh, and if something happens, there goes the open casket event?
Dude, it happens so fast. It's over in seconds.
It's over in seconds. Famous last words. Last words. All right.
When I was young, man, the stuff I used to do scuba diving was a lot more dangerous than that.
I know. I'm just saying. You say you don't do optional. Would you do a balloon ride?
Oh, I did that a long time ago, and I didn't like it at all.
Why not?
I was not comfortable the whole run. Because you're at the mercy of the wind. So these guys that talk about being pilots of balloons,
yeah,
shit. That's like saying you're a pilot of, you know, of a drone.
I'm a pilot of
you have no control.
I'm a pilot of a drift boat.
Yeah. I mean that was kinda I didn't like that. I didn't like the balloon.
Hey, I
didn't like it at all.
Read this. Yeah, I would not do that. I don't like when they catch on fire and you see them flaming headed for the ground, right? Then as they're coming to the ground, boom, they hit a power line. You're like, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, same thing like those, you know, I mean, horrible story, right? Five or six people in that helo that went down in the Hudson River. So you know, you want to go on these helicopter tours. It's like, I don't do that. You know, I don't do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the good thing about going down in a powered craft is it's, you go down quick. Balloon, you're just like, and you're, you know, drifting into that power line. You see it for like 15 minutes. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
So you got 15 minutes to go through your mind and think of how this is going to end.
The only thing that crashes slower than that is like an American destroyer running into another ship. And those jackasses can't even sound an alarm. When you're in the balloon, you're screaming your ass off for the 15 minutes as you head to the power line. If I got close to the power line, I would jump. I'm like, I'm not going out like this. You know, come on, honey, you go first. You go first. I'll be right after.
It depends on how if they're high tension lines, I would jump. If they were just like telephone lines, like here that are, you know, like 20 feet off the ground, yeah, then I would jump.
So high tension line, it might be what, 60 feet? But you're gonna take a chance of like getting 80 gazillion volts wrapped through your ass? Come on.
Yeah, jumping 60 feet, not a lot of people live that way, man.
Look, you know, tuck and roll. Just like the airborne. I saw a picture of me with that guy. General Swanee. Or whatever his name was, commander of the 82nd Airborne. I have a picture of me and one other Army officer and him and from the 82nd Airborne emblem. Hey, Mac, you want to go get a picture taken with me with the general? I'm like, sure, come on, I love that. Yeah, and it became, the President of the United States is going to make some remarks, evidently, have a little press conference before he will sign or not sign, depending on what you believe coming out this morning. About the budget. I think it's shrewd, Mike, that he was kind of saying, I may not sign it because it doesn't have anything for the dreamers. And so my instinct is that he's going to go on TV and he's going to say, hey, look, I wanted something for the dreamers in here. It should be here. I'm willing to make a deal with the Democrats relative to that. And it should have been in this bill. And I want all you dreamers to know that out there. All right. Because of the
middle. They don't want to do a deal.
I know.
Because it removes that bargaining chip for them. If they solve the problem, that's why social welfare Democrats love it. Why? Because it'll never go away. It keeps people hooked. They'll solve the problem.
Well, they can't make a deal. They just think because of what that guy in Pennsylvania did in defeating that Republican. Okay, so all right. So tell me what party this guy is. He's pro-gun. He's pro-Joyce. He's anti-Nancy Pelosi. He's pro-life. And
you said he's pro-choice.
No, he's pro-life. I'm sorry. He's pro-choice. He's pro-gun. He's anti-Nancy Pelosi. He's for terrorists against China. What party is that guy a member of?
He's part of the Democratic Party.
No, but he's a Republican.
I know.
He's a dino, Democrat in name only. Okay. But he's really a Republican. So this guy wins, and now they have a choice. We can run guys like this. If I was a president, I'd say, hey, run guys like that all day. If those are my Democrats, I'll make a deal with that guy, right?
Yeah.
Or they can run people from the Bernie Sanders, Pocahontas, that part of the party. And the Democratic Party is skewing the way of radicals. And they won't win that election. So anyway, if that's where they're, but you can see, when was the last time you saw Nancy Pelosi on TV?
Yeah.
No.
It's been a while, but if you go to her, there's actual videos where she does her speeches to her constituents. I watch those.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
She's
because
too.
It's Saturday Night Live, real, no script, no script.
Yeah, no, she's too old. She needs to stop. I mean,
it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And I say that about.
She's getting ready to speak right now, huh?
Yeah, I'd say about anybody, because, you know, Mike and I have talked about how many people in Congress are in their 80s. And we went through, remember when the drugstore that supplies the free prescriptions and delivers them to their office to Capitol Hill, that guy did an interview and he said, it's pretty, you know, when you're giving out these powerful drugs for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, to Capitol Hill, you know, it kind of makes your head scratch. You know, at some point, look, the people in their 80s need to quit and let the young people, the people in their 70s make policy, okay? Or the younger people still in their 60s, let those young spry chickens.
Yeah, let the young 60-year-olds do it.
I know, it's stupid. Absolutely, positively stupid. Okay.
Yeah, lawyers can't practice law in a law firm after the age of like 60-something. Why? Because of their mental capacity. They just don't like, they retire them. But yet, it's okay for a politician to practice law until he's like 90.
Yeah, go ahead. Strom Thurmond. They wheel him in, they have a string attached to his finger, and, they lift it. Would Senator Thurmond like to speak? So Senator Thurmond hasn't spoken in 17 years. Oh, my bad. All right, thank you, the great gentleman from South.
They don't know if he can still speak. That's the real question.
They don't know if he can speak. I know it's stupid at the end. Good God, man, let the guy go live.
Indignity, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm having some dignity here.
All right, what are you doing this weekend? Anything fun?
That's a good question. Well, no, we got the Republican convention tomorrow.
Oh, my God. That'll be interesting, huh?
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight thinking about that. You know, next week, what I'm going to talk about?
What?
I'm going to talk about police stuff.
Hey, I got a guy who's written, who's writing about, for Marine Corps Times he's a former Marine, served in Iraq. His name's Todd South. He's going to come on next week and talk about that contract. If you want to hop on with us, I'll let you know when he's coming.
Okay.
On. Cause it is, it's as Mike has kind of taken us through the procurement system, slow, ridiculous. You know, and a company like Glock, you know, who makes great products, you know, they get, and Beretta even, if you look at what Beretta submitted, you know, it's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty formidable submissions that the Department of Defense turned down. So.
Yeah. Even CZ out of Kansas, their pistol. You know, I couldn't believe it, man.
Yeah, the numbers though. When you talk about it, it is interesting. As Mike says, if you're buying them for $180 a copy, throw it away and give the guy a new one. What do we need to service it for? If you can't use a spare part on hand, and you're going to have a whole stack of pistols that have been cannibalized. For
$580 million.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't get it, man. Anyway, I'll let you go.
All right, man. Yankees, right. Red Sox, Aaron Judge up, bottom of the first.
Right, whatever.
There you have it, the Gunner. On Friday, Michael Musselman, he's out because he doesn't want to talk baseball. Aaron Judge up.
Three-run homer.
Yeah, here it is. We'll listen to his 0-2 count. Kenny Singleton.
That ball was smoked.
That ball was smoked.
Judge standing bird for the Yankees here in the first to face former number one draft pick, Brian Johnson. That pitch is high for a ball.
Brian Johnson, wearing number 61.
All right, inside, count levels at 2-2.
Well, you love the fact that he's working quickly, getting on the mound and delivering the baseball. But this lineup for the Yankees, Kenny, this spring, we've seen kind of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Judge and Stanton back-to-back. We've seen Bird splitting them up. And then the
2-2 the count.
Leading off.
Well, this is the time to experiment.
Johnson steps off the rubber.
And this is a definite possibility.
See, they don't have to do play-by-play on TV.
Judge, who has a high on-base percentage. Call, strike three. Brad Johnson takes the outside corner.
That wasn't a strike, I'll tell you that. Aaron Judge goes down looking to lead off the game. All right.
Well, we'll take another look at the fastball. You mentioned it, Kenny, not overpowering, but maybe just caught Aaron Judge guessing a little bit for a breaking ball. He gets locked up on a fastball down and away.
Knee high over.
That'll do it. My thanks to the Gunner for coming on. Most of all, my thanks to you all for listening here on a President is getting ready to go ahead and make some remarks at the White House. So you'll hear that if you care to. Otherwise, this program repeats itself momentarily. I would tell you for a pretty interesting little program today. Yeah, no kidding, honestly. I enjoyed it. And sometimes I'll tell you, I don't enjoy my own work. Trust me. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the news. You'll get a little bit of education into YouTube TV and how you can save yourself if you choose to. You can choose to save about $1,800 a year. Yeah. And you can enjoy just about everything that you enjoy on your cable TV right now. And pay $40 a month. Yeah, I should get a commission for this stuff. You know why we play this, right? You come back from a war with all the demons that people have, right? We owe it to the guys who and girls who didn't come back to live the high life. Right, so go to your therapist. Get the treatment you need if you're struggling. If you have friends that are struggling, make sure they do it. Reconnect with them on Facebook, in a group text message or whatever. Honestly, that's how Mike and I and Montana Man, I even emailed Montana Man's dad. Yeah, he was in spring training. I wanted him to come on today. But he's volunteering at a Catholic grammar school or something like that. Yeah. But we talked almost every day. Do that kind of stuff. Because the high life is important. You've earned it. Okay? And it's not always the easiest road based on the baggage that you have, but you deserve it. So your friends deserve it. Your comrades deserve it. Make sure you get them there. Back in the high life again. All right. So on a Friday, just a teaser for next week. Pretty fired up. On Monday, we're going to talk a little bit of procurement. Yeah, actually, we're going to talk two cool things on Monday. We're going to talk the 5th Marines Vietnam Memorial Wall is being moved across the country. Yeah, and it's going to be dedicated on Memorial Day weekend of this year. But it's moving across the country, so we're going to talk to guys who are involved in that. Yeah, fired up for that. Steve Colwell is his name. So we're going to talk to Steve on Monday. And then we're also going to talk to a reporter for Military Times, Todd South, former Marine. So we'll talk to him about pistol procurement. And so we'll see if the gunner wants to hop on an hour early Monday and help me interview Todd South. So be fun talking and interesting for you to hear about the procurement process, the decision the Army made. You know, the decision the Marine Corps made is far more defensible, in my opinion, because the Marine Corps is saying, look, we're not going to go develop out on our own pistol and you know, bear that cost, yada, yada, yada. So we'll accept the things the Army's working on relative to this pistol. So you could defend that. The money spent, the procurement decision. So we'll talk about that. And then on Wednesday, Dan Hoffman was a second lieutenant during the Mayaguez, quote-unquote, rescue, in which three Marines are believed to have been left on the island alive. Yeah, and trust me, in just in my little conversation with him yesterday, he's really excited to do it, but he got emotional yesterday just talking about it, you know, almost 50 years later. So next week will be cool. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. This program repeats itself right now. Have a great weekend on a Friday. All Marine Radio out.